Welcome to Crossroad Off-Road, brought to you by Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota, and by Zeus Off-Road in Burns, Minnesota. Today, I have Mrs. Crossroad in studio, and also we're going to talk about some different adventures you can have while we're in quarantine here. So just sit back and take a listen and have some fun. Thanks. Today, I was looking for some ideas and what we could talk about with the whole situation we're in right now, about some different type of adventures you can have. And one of the things I chose to do that my wife actually caught on video, which was pretty fun, was I decided that this was the week that I was going to teach my older son how to drive a stick shift. He turned 16 during this whole quarantine, and we were pretty excited about being able to get him a vehicle and get his driver's license, kind of a coming-of-age type of a event in a kid's life. And I remember my 16th birthday rather well. I got pulled over by a cop, because I spun rocks on the car. I thought it was my brother. So I got a ticket on my 16th birthday. So great introduction to the driving world. But for my kid, it was right around his birthday, and I thought, let's grab him and take him out. He's always been asking me if he could drive the Jeep. So I said, yeah, let's go learn. And so a little strategy I had, I grew up on a dairy farm, and one of the great things you get to do on a dairy farm is to pick rocks out in the field. And so as a very small child, I was on one of our tractors made in Romania called a Long, L-O-N-G. And those tractors, they're blue. And the one I was driving had a really hard clutch. Basically, when I was about four or five years old, I had to stand out with both feet to get the clutch to go down. That's how hard it was to push the clutch down. But what I mentioned is I learned how to drive at about 1 mile an hour with a stick shift. So what I did with my kid is I put it in low range. And the whole idea for me was to teach him how to drive, how to get used to the clutch, how to use the gas. And if you're in low range, you can take off in first and second. You don't have to touch the gas, the accelerator. So I just said, let's just start there. So we started working on that. And we drove around the block about 5 to 6 times. I think my neighbors, they had no clue what was going on because we were in low range, just kind of putting around. I got him up to fifth gear in low range, just kind of working through the gears, trying to get it going. And I thought that was teaching him, how to drive a stick a little bit, where the friction point was, how to use the accelerator a little bit, how to change the gears, get used to where the gears are at. And I thought it was going pretty well. Then we tried high range. It was a little different story because getting used to that friction point is a little different, getting used to the accelerator a little bit more. We're on a bit of a hills, and so we're practicing with that. But eventually, he got the hang of it. I asked him how he liked it. He goes, I like it, but I just don't like first gear. He just didn't like first gear at all. And so it was a challenge, but it was something fun to do during this whole time. And it was the middle of the day. There wasn't many people around. It was a nice day out, so we actually were learning how to drive a stick with the top down. It was great, and I think he had a fun time with it. Hopefully he'll remember it. And he almost backed out at the last minute before we got started because he just was changing his mind. I said, no, let's get this down. We can do this because someday you'll probably want to drive this to school or drive around and stuff. So let's get her down. So we worked on it for, I don't know, a good 45 minutes to an hour, honey.
Yeah.
We worked on it and took some pictures and stuff like that. I didn't tell my wife to take a picture, but she was out there with her phone taking some pictures. It was great, so we got that on camera. He did get his he peeled out for the first time by accident. He killed it twice, but I think that's all part of learn how to drive a stick. And one of the reasons I want to bring Mrs. Crossroad in is she learned how to drive on a stick. We talked about her car, how she got stuck in man camp.
Yeah.
But you learn how to drive on a stick with your dad, is that right?
Yeah, in the same location that I got stuck with my car in the snow twice in the same day.
But tell us a little about your experience learning how to drive a stick.
Well, I remember when my dad took me to buy my first car, and in selecting a car, I don't remember why we would have landed on buying a stick shift over an automatic, but we did.
I think price probably had a lot to do with it.
Probably price. And I think it was like a $700 car, which I paid half of, or that was what my contribution was to the car. So I think it was the perfect price point. It was also didn't have paint. It had been buffed to be painted. So it was this kind of off red color. which added a little character to it. So learning to drive a stick, I mean, honestly, my memory of it is kind of blurry. I guess what you'll, if you heard the last podcast that I was in and this one, my dad taught me. I remember my dad, I would imagine he had a lot more patience than I remember him having.
You remember him just, not having much patience.
I remember him having not a lot of patience. I remember him yelling at me. But I also probably was not being very patient myself. I remember killing it constantly. But once I got the hang of it, it was really fun to drive. So I guess that is one thing that I remember about driving a stick shift is that once you've got the hang of it, you can do something that not a lot of people know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can drive a lot more cars. But I haven't driven a stick since I got rid of the car. So
driving my Jeep once.
Did I try?
Yeah.
I'm a little hesitant to drive it again, but I remember after learning to drive a stick later after I got my next car, because my first one was really kind of in rough shape, was no longer really able to accelerate up big hills and things like that. We gave that car to my sister, and then I got a new car. But I remember my dad trying to teach my sister, and eventually I just said, you know what, I'll do it. So I remember taking her out and trying to be calm and encouraging and not yell at her when she was struggling to learn herself. So I think all three of us drove my car.
Wait, your the middle sister just got her own stick shift. She had that Dodge Neon for a while.
Was it a stick?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think I ever drove it, but I know that both of my sisters eventually drove my car. So all three of us came out of our younger years with the talent of being able to drive a stick shift.
Yeah, and that was about a 70-ish horsepower vehicle.
It was tiny. It was a little tin can.
It was.
But it was fun. But it didn't have a stereo system or anything, so.
It had a radio, though, didn't it?
Yeah, but it was pretty bare bones.
Yeah.
Compared to what I think even kids today drive, I don't think kids really get bare-bone cars.
Well, when we're in the market of buying a car, and when we get out of this whole thing and things get a little more concrete, well, getting our kid a car. But it's like you don't want to have the nicest car because you know there's probably going to be an accident maybe, or it's going to go in the ditch maybe on purpose, or if it was anything like when I was a kid.
But I think our oldest child doesn't seem to have the same personality traits that you had in your younger years, or me.
But you never know,
true.
But
we also lived in rural areas where you had more options in terms of, and a little bit more, I don't know, space to make bad decisions while driving.
Yeah, our older son seems a little straight-laced. He doesn't even get his hands dirty when eats Doritos.
Yeah. He's always a very particular child.
If you happen to be able to watch him make a peanut butter sandwich, it's like watching art. I don't know. It just looks like the most coolest thing ever. You just watch him. It's all pretty detailed.
Yeah, it's very gourmet. If a peanut butter sandwich can be that.
Yeah, so, hopefully he's responsible with vehicles, and he's very responsible when he drives our vehicles now. So it'd be interesting to see when he gets to drive by himself without us around. So we're hopefully within a couple months of that happening. And hopefully next fall he's driving himself to school. So, but yeah, when I was driving with him, I go and I put it on my the Cross Thread Facebook page. It's like I call it the art form of being able to drive a stick shift, because if you get it down, it's kind of a cool thing, I encourage you, if you haven't had a chance to try it out, if you have a friend that has a stick shift, give it a shot. It's fun. It's one of the reasons I bought the vehicle I did for my toy vehicle. Funny thing is, I was listening, a listener reached out to me through Facebook and he bought a brand new JL with the stick shift. And I forget the name of the guy who did it, but if you're listening again, reach out to me again. I want to see how it is if a couple months later after you picked it up. But he goes, yeah, I really wanted a stick shift. And the new JL has the new 8-speed, the same thing you have in your Grand Cherokee. And people are raving about it. They really like that, the 8-speed transmission that's in the new Jeep. With that, with the 3.6, and my wife has that in her her Jeep Grand Cherokee, and but not too many people are picking the manual. I just wonder how long, much longer the manual is going to be around.
Yeah.
And the Wrangler is probably one of the last ones to have it. And I just wish that more people got it now, because 10 years from now, when that JL is a 10-year-old vehicle, where it's the type of vehicle that a lot of people like me would want to buy, to take it off road, because I couldn't take a brand new vehicle, take it off road. I couldn't see that.
No.
It has to be something that I'm like, if I scratch it, who cares? You know, yeah. It's not a big deal. But I like to have the manual with that. That's me. So that's kind of the one of the adventures that we had with during this whole quarantine, was getting my son to get behind the wheel of the stick shift, and we had a good time. We have to get him out there obviously a few more times before I feel comfortable with him just taking it out and driving. But it was a fun adventure that we had during this quarantine time. So another thing that I might ask you guys that to check out, if you haven't done this yet in your Jeep, I'm going to encourage you, this is the time to do it if you got time to do it, is not only take your top down, but take the doors off on a Jeep. It's a great weather. Right now it's 74 degrees. It's May 2nd, and when we're recording this, it's a beautiful day. I was already out. We were out yesterday, I think, with the top down, doors off.
It's a little windy for my taste.
And it's a windy day today too. So I went to the store to get new taillight for my Jeep. So I drove to the store, and then the way home I took the back roads because I didn't want to get on the highway again. And I take my hat off
that
because
hurts.
I thought I was gonna lose my hat. It was really windy. It's windy outside in general. But if you haven't done that yet, give it a shot. How we did the first day I had my Jeep, which should be four and a half, five years ago now, we got the doors off. They were never off the Jeep before that. So what it took is we had to wrap some ratchet straps around the rafters, hook it to the top of the door with the door open and a window open, and obviously you have to get the nut off in the bottom. And then we actually just sat down in the Jeep. So we actually pushed the Jeep down and left the door there. So that's kind of how we got the doors off. And then once you get them off, you're going to want to file down that pin and then lube it up with some white lithium grease. So that's kind of what we did. Did it with my brother's JK. His TJ doors came right off, I think. But though, if you don't take them off and lube them every now and again, they're going to be really hard to get off. So that's what we do. So my doors are off right now. And what I have done too, a lot of people have their own home-built methods to store the doors, but I bought some Everbilt wall-mounted double-arm hangers. So out of Home Depot, I bought two of those because I have a two-door. And they're $7 a piece. I had them drilled up in my garage, and the doors come off. I think they might be off until, who knows when, September? So those might be off for a while. But that's where they hang. And so those are a pretty cheap way to hang them up. So if you have a four-door, you're about $30, and you got your wall hangers. Just have to find a way, place to stick them. So that's my adventure. I might challenge you guys to do is to do those things that you might haven't had a chance to do before. If you've never taken the doors off, give it a shot. It's pretty dang fun. I like it. You get some looks on the highway from it, but it's pretty dang fun. So give that a shot. Do something a little different. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a bit more about another off-road adventure that my wife and I had just today. Hey, welcome back to the CrossFit Off-Road Podcast. One thing that we can do very easily this time of year is just go out for a walk. It was a beautiful day. My wife yesterday said, she goes, Mitch, let's go for a walk tomorrow morning. Let's go for a really long walk. So I said, all right, we'll go for a long walk.
I said yesterday I said I wanted to go for 4 miles. I decided when we left the house today I wanted to go for 5. You were very skeptical. You pushed back on that. And then the route that you opted to take actually resulted in a 5-mile hike. So
yeah, so where we live, it's in West Bloomington right by the ski jump. And there's a hill right by the ski jump. There's a road, and there's a dirt road off the paved road. There's a sign that says no parking, and I always see people running up it. So finally I told Beth, let's turn here and go right up this hill. Let's just check it out, see what's up there. And so it's a road that we never took, and I have seen people on it. So I'm like, well, let's go check it out. So we decided to go up this path, and we had our little dog with us. He's more of about a 9-pound barking cat, is what I call him.
He's tough, though.
He's tough. He'll do the walks. Right now, he's totally napped out on my wife's lap. He's tapped out. He's done for the day. But so what we decided to do is take this path we've never taken before. And so we started hiking up this hill, ran into a couple people who were doing hill repeats or sprinting up this little dirt road. And we got to the top, ran at the ski jump. We're looking up and checking it out a little bit. And then we see there's a path. It's actually a marked hiking path. So I thought, well, let's go ahead and take it. And it was a wide path, beautiful path. And we knew it kind of linked up to the...
Highlands. Ski and snowboard hill.
Ski and snowboard. Or what's that park called?
Richardson Nature Center.
Yeah, right by Richardson Nature. We kind of figured it linked up to that. So we started hiking through the woods. It kind of winded back and forth. All of a sudden, we were at the top of the ski hill, on Highland Ski Hill.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of people up there sprinting up the hill.
Very hardcore runners.
Hardcore runners.
We are not that.
People with multiple abs. We get the joke. So
we're tough, but some of those people are much tougher than
we are. They were sprinting up that hill. So we decided, well, we'll take turns running up and down the hill. And so I went first, and there's still snow there. Like I said, it's May 2nd, 75 degrees out. There's still snow on the side of the hill, so I took a picture of the snow. I thought that was cool. And then I sprinted up the hill. I sprinted 20, 30 feet, but then I had to take a little...
I was going to call that out. You sprinted up the hill. He started jogging up the hill.
and then I walked. It's steep,
then
guys.
Then he walked, yeah.
And yes, the whole time I was thinking, God, this would be fun on a mountain bike. This would be fun with my Jeep. I kept on thinking that, but obviously you can't bring those up there.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, you might get in trouble. But you know, the path... The road we wanted to take, or the path we had in mind before we even started, was all paved. This is all off-road. I mean, it was all dirt, rock, sand, gravel, grass. And so we kind of tooled around the top of the hill and kind of kept on walking around. And we're definitely, you know, we didn't want to be in a regular path because there's thousands of people on a regular walking path. You know, it seems like it's very busy. This was very spread out. There's plenty of other places to go, and I was tracking it. I shut down my regular tracker and turned on my Strava because I wanted to see it on a map. And all those paths that we saw off to the side, they're all on Strava.
Oh, okay.
This is all those little paths that walk in the woods, those hiking areas. It's all on Strava. So next time I'll track the whole thing on that. Strava is a tracking app that you can do to track your miles and distance and elevation changes and your heart rate while you're doing it and all that. So it's a cool fitness type of a tracker app. And so we kept on walking along. We walked to the top of the ridge, came back around, and there's all these different routes you could take. So yeah, let's take this route. And we kept on walking through the woods. It was a nice nature walk. It was great. Ran into a lot of people who all had smiles on their face, because when you have a dog with you, people are going to smile. Mm-hmm. And so we started walking. We ended up at Richardson Nathan Center. Beautiful place. We kind of got to a path that we knew. Then we went back off-road again to, because I saw a bridge I never saw before. And we walked over off-road to that path. And I know it's a cross-country ski path, mm-hmm. too. And so we got to this one part of, what kind of birds were those? Osprey. So we see these... We live in a very naturey area,
yeah. But
we always see these different hawks and falcons, and we're always wondering what they are. Here they have osprey.
Well, they're focusing specifically on preservation and replenishing the population of ospreys, is what the sign said. But what was interesting is that when we were there, we did see they have these osprey nesting posts, or
basically
perch posts.
Basically, like a post with a flat piece of plywood on top. I would say a 4x4 piece of plywood up there, mm-hmm. and so they can make a big nest. And so what did we see?
So we saw at least, yeah, three osprey, and there were two that were fighting, so we figured it was over a girl. So probably two male osprey fighting over a female. But we did say, and I want to go again tomorrow, and I want, now we know how to do this right, because on our walk we realized we need water. We need hiking shoes, because we were both wearing tennis shoes, and the rocks kind of were hurting my feet. Mm-hmm. But to bring our bird watching binoculars too, so that we can.
Yeah, and just 2 weeks ago, my wife's like, I have these two Camelbacks from when my kids would ride bike with me, and their little bikes don't have a cage to put the water bottle, so they always have to wear these Camelbacks, which is like a backpack with a bladder of water. And just 2 weeks ago, she was, you ever going to use those things again? And she wanted to throw them away. I said, I bet we find a use for them. And that's exactly what we needed, because all those guys running around with all their abs, they
were prepared.
They were prepared. They had backpacks of water.
They knew what they were doing.
And as we were like, oh, gosh, I wish I had one of those backpacks full of water.
Because I'm still dehydrated from our walk.
Yeah, we weren't ready for a 5 mile up a mountain
Not
pass.
That kind of hike, no.
No, so... We were kind of adventuring. Finally, I looked at a map where we were. We were about as far away from our house as we could have been, I think.
No,
we were pretty far out.
I think we could continue south, but yeah, we were...
Further out than we thought.
Yeah, yeah.
So it goes any off-roading trip is like, okay, I should have brought more stuff. You know, I should have known, but we didn't know we thought we were just going to tool around down in the woods next to our house, not be up down this hilly mountains pass or mountains. Well, the one hill, I guess.
Well, it was, yeah. I mean, it was hiking. We usually do is go for walks, and this was actually legitimate hiking. Is, I guess, well, kind of in the middle of the road hiking, because I've done some hardcore hiking before.
We definitely
before.
Those paths we could have took though were harder. They were marked. We were on the green paths, but there was black diamond paths.
Ooh, and let's do that tomorrow.
There's some blue marked paths, and so we saw all these paths. I'm like, well. Cool, but we're not ready for it. I was by the time I got to the top of the hill after about a mile and a half, I'm going like, yeah, I can use some water,
mm-hmm.
You know. So tomorrow we'll have a little bit more with us, and so it was a different off road adventure. But we know what we're going to do next time differently, and right away we're talking about it in a way about what we can bring different next time. So mm-hmm. Now we have a bit more of a plan to watch the birds, and then also have the water with us and the right footwear. But there's no bugs right now. And so for us,
famous last words.
Yeah, tomorrow's probably full of mosquitoes, but it was a great pleasurable walk because of those things. You know, it was something new, something
different. Yeah.
And it wasn't our usual path at all. But to be honest with us, it was right outside our door. We just never went that way before. Mm-hmm. We just kind of picked the same path that we always go on. Like, well, let's do something different today. And we ended up somewhere totally different, and now we have a new adventure we can go on almost every time and have something new. There's different paths we can take even there.
Mm-hmm.
We barely scratched the surface, in other words.
Yeah.
So that was kind of one of the other lessons I wanted to just talk about, is just take that path you haven't taken before or try a new challenge. I think a lot of us who are adventurers, who have Jeeps, you're going to do that anyhow. But that's just something we did and thought, oh, we could do this again next time. And I did have a Jeep hat on during this trek today, mm-hmm. So I had at least that.
Yeah. Well, this is an off-road adventure on foot,
there
right?
You go.
So there's lots of different kinds of off-roading that you can do.
Yeah.
So this was an on-foot road off-road adventure.
Yeah. Another thing, cool, I know you guys have watched it, but there's a TFL, the Fastlane, has this off-road adventure with the Jeep. And what they did on YouTube, I should say, is they went to the highest point in each state, and they drove to the highest point in each state, and they put belt buckles down, and you could go and find this belt buckle. This was a few years ago, so obviously all the belt buckles are taken. But what they did in Minnesota, I watched the episode a couple times, is Nathan and Emmy went. There are a couple people who are on this YouTube series, but they went to Eagle Mountain, Minnesota, which is Minnesota's highest point. They drove to that point, and then they hiked up to the top of Eagle Mountain, which is the highest point in Minnesota. It's about a 3-mile hike, and that's where they put the belt buckle. And it was a cool thing, and they were getting attacked by mosquitoes in that episode.
Oh, okay.
they went a little later to summer than we are right now, but it's up kind of by. And I want to say it's west, northwest of Duluth is where it's at. But that's the highest point in Minnesota. It's called Eagle Mountain. But so this could be a fun adventure for us if we want to go for a hike sometime and kind of cross it up with some jeeping too while we're at it. But that's the highest point. I watched all 50 of these because they go to each state. And they did all of them. They even shipped one Jeep to Canada, through Canada to Alaska, I think they did. But they rented a Jeep in Hawaii.
Okay.
So I think they did all that. But they did a lot of fun things, and it was adventure. It was kind of cool to see their adventure. And like I said, I watched all of them because I thought it was pretty neat. So mm-hmm. Check it out. They almost got struck by lightning in South Dakota.
Oh, jeez.
So that was fun. But that's kind of the adventure I wanted to talk about today, is those roads you haven't taken before, the paths you haven't taken. We've been doing a lot of, you know, top-down Jeep rides, just kind of cruising around. We kind of have a new direction and path we like to go, a few new restaurants we want to get to. And yesterday, the whole family went on one, and we drove by a restaurant I want to hit, and there was spring in Eden Prairie we wanted to stop at, but there was a gazillion people there.
Yeah.
Getting water at the spring in Eden Prairie. So I'm like, let's just not stop there. It wasn't even a place to park.
No, people were just parked in a line. So,
it was craziness. So that's our adventure today. And we come back again, I'm going to talk all about my trip to Appleton. So stay tuned. Hey, gang. Now is always a great time to buy a used vehicle, especially from Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. If you have something in mind you're looking for, give them a call. They'll help you find it. They have their sources to help find the right vehicle for you. Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. If you pick one up and you mention the podcast, you get a $500 credit
towards Zeus Off-Road in Burnson, Minnesota. So that's a great deal for you, obviously. And if you already have a vehicle and you want some custom work done, or you want a lift kit or a wheels and tire combination, Zeus Off-Road is a place to go in Burnsville, Minnesota. So just tell them you sent, you've got the, you mentioned the podcast. You might get a free hat or t-shirt out of it for you. Okay. So again, that's Motors and More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota, your source for your great used vehicles. And then Zeus Off-Road in Burnsville, Minnesota, your location to get some great custom work done on your good off-roader.
So a venture I had last weekend, we decided as a few, my brother and my, one of my buddies, Wade, Wade definitely pushed us to go because I was, wasn't in a mood kind of to go on a long trip. But he was saying, let's go to Appleton, and Appleton, Minnesota. I know there's an Appleton, Wisconsin also, I believe, but Appleton, Minnesota, which from my doorstep was a 2 hour and 41 minute drive. That's each direction. So for me, I wanted to go to bed the night before and get a good night's rest was the goal. I think I went to bed at 10:30, woke up at, I think it was 1:30. So I got about 3 hours of sleep, and then I could not fall back asleep. And so I was pretty stressed about not getting enough sleep to get out there and get, you know, drive around and get back. But then I thought, you know, what else am I going to do all day? Sit around and, you know, sit on my couch, watch TV? I mean, there wasn't much else I could do. So I thought, let's just you know, keep the schedule and go. And I didn't plan for much. I had, I think I packed some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and some water, and that was it. I didn't bring my high lift. I was brought tool bag with a very sparse amount of tools, but not a whole bunch of stuff. A little less than I usually take with me for a trip. But I thought, well, I know, you know, my brother will have some tools. Wade will have some tools. I think we'll be fine. And I wasn't even gonna, you know, disconnect the sway bar or you know, air down the tires. I wasn't gonna do any of that stuff. I was just gonna go. And so I ended up being the drive there first off, and I got up at 6 and left at 7 a.m. because we were gonna meet there by 10. I knew I was gonna have to stop for gas because if you know, you all drive Jeeps, if you're listening to this podcast, most likely, and you know that Jeeps don't get the best gas mileage. And so I was driving the TJ, and I think I stopped for gas twice on the way there, and mainly just a way to stop and walk around a little bit. And there's plenty of places to stop off-road and to stretch your legs a little bit. It's beautiful farm country, a lot of huge, big farms out there, bigger farm tractors than I remember ever having when I grew up, and this isn't too far from where I grew up even, where we ended up going. But there's some big farms out there, so if you like to see the wide open spaces, it's a nice little trip for you. It's right out west on 7. I think I stayed on 7 the entire time, to be honest. I wasn't much off of 7. But I plugged the directions in, listened to a few other podcasts that are out there on the way out there. It was a beautiful drive. Had a nice, some nice me time all by myself. And I knew that we were going to get out there. We're definitely be social distancing a little bit anyhow. So, but, you know, sitting in a Jeep by yourself for 2.5-3 hours and with nothing else to do, it was a nice drive out there. So definitely, if you guys are looking for a place to go, the Appleton, just the drive there and back was a beautiful drive there and back, I thought. Got a lot of time just to think, listen to some different podcasts. One I like, if you guys don't listen to, is KFan's The Initials Game. You can sit down and they have a whole podcast on it. So if you missed a few weeks, you can do a few of their initials games right with them. I even got a few guesses in before they got it. So that's a fun little game they do every Friday morning. So I'd listen to that on the way back. Actually, on the way there, I think I listened to the radio a lot, ironically. But then I threw a couple tunes on to keep my mind going. But got there. I was the first one there, so I sent the address to everybody else when I got there, so they all pulled in. Another thing, a quick note to the guy who pulled in with his four-wheeler in the back of his pickup and decided to spin donuts in the parking lot while there's a bunch of other kids and people standing around and spit rocks everywhere. That's not the thing to do. So let's not do that, buddy. We gave him a piece of our mind, and he got out of there before, got back on a trail before too long. But just don't do that when there's a lot of kids and other vehicles around spinning rocks out. It's just not cool. So let's not do that. So we got out of the parking lot, and I turned on Polaris's Trail Command. It's just an app that'll kind of follow you through the trail. Because I've been on trails a few times, and like I don't know where I'm at on the trail. Am I almost to the end? Am I still at the beginning of the trail? I had no clue. One time we were on Troll Hog, and I think the first time, like, I don't know if we're, just at the beginning yet or if we're halfway through. And then we pulled in, and all of a sudden there's a parking lot. So I'm like, okay, we're at the end. We just had no clue where we were on the trail. We don't know how long these trails are sometimes. So I turned on the trail command, and it'll like map you through the trail. So you can see where you're at on the trail. You can see the whole trail. It'll guide you, it'll draw a little blue line of where you've been on the trail while you're on it. It's pretty neat. So you can kind of, pick and choose where you want to go. And I'll never really be too lost. So I had that on the whole time, and I think we ended up riding for about 3 hours. So I ended up being on the road all told about 9 hours in one day. So it ended up being a long day. But a lot of sand. There's a few mud holes here and there, but if you don't like mud, you don't have to go on them. So we skipped over the mud hole part. There's a lot of sand though, so your vehicle's not gonna get too dirty if you don't want it to, in other words. And so we tooled around, find a few obstacles to go on, some rock climbing. There's, when I say a few, there's very minimal, I would say, obstacles. I would say there's one, two, three little section they have there by one of the parking lots. There is some log climbs that you can try to do that. So there's a handful, I would say, under 10 total obstacle challenges, I would say, are there. On the backside, close to the old motocross track, we did find this one little trail, probably about 70, 80 yards long. That was some good off-camber stuff, do some articulation. That was pretty fun. Doesn't look like too many people go through that section. Maybe it's new for all I know, but we got through that. I think I had used my winch one time just to get off a rock on the one little garden by the other parking lot. Then I had to pull my buddy Wade out, who got stuck. He was inching his way into a puddle. We had no clue how deep it was. Before you know it, it's over his front tire. And so we had to pull him back a little bit, but he was just inching through. The mud holes are deceptively deep at parts. So you got to inch through them and see if you can get through them or not. And some are sandy bottoms, so you can just drive right through it, no problem. So it kind of has a little bit of everything. So in all told, we did I think 3 hours worth of work there. And Appleton, Minnesota Trails, ORV, Google it if you like, but it's right on Google Maps is the easiest way to find it, I thought. The town definitely caters to it. It's not too far. The trailhead, one of the trailheads we were at, is real close to a Casey's gas station. So I saw some people run over there getting supplies and food. Big parking lot, a lot more ATVs than Jeeps, I would say. But in the end of the day, we had a great time. It's probably a place I'll go back to when the weather is nice like it is now. I can see myself going back and trying to feel their challenges. Even just the drive out there and back was a nice little drive. The trails itself, I would say, are mostly easy. Did talk to a police officer when I was there. He's a highway guy, and he was very nice. And we talked to him for a few minutes about the trail, so they have some people watching over that trail. Usually it's a DNR, but he thought he'd stop in and check it out that day. Nice guy. So yeah, I ended up disconnecting the sway bar, but not airing down. Kind of wish I would have aired down, but we had a great time with, like I said, my brother and my buddy Wade. So if you're looking for something to do, I definitely suggest that trail. You can still do your social distance jazz that you need to do right now. A lot of people are doing that, but it was a nice little trail. So definitely would suggest that for getting you some of your off-road adventure in. So love to hear about what you guys are doing. So go ahead, follow me on Facebook on the Crossroad Off-Road page. I'd love to hear about some of the adventures that you guys might be working on right now or going on, or some of the things that you found that you're doing a little different right now. Another thing that I did recently is, after we got back from the trail, you should always do this, is take a peek underneath your Jeep and see what kind of rocks you skidded out on and might have done some damage to. So I did, scrape up my skid plate a little bit, my frame. I think the rear trailing arm where it hooks the frame got a little dinged up. So I hit that with some rust preventative care spray. And I ordered some new stuff there, and I also ordered some new paint. I ordered some new Pour 15 chassis black. It's a rust preventer deal, so it's for your chassis. So I put that on. It's like a real thick paint, I guess, for lack of a better term. So I did a little work on the Jeep. Just got all that stuff today, actually, the chassis black. So I sprayed that on there real quick, just to kind of prevent more any rust from happening on that frame. So that's something I did today after the off-roading adventure we had last week. So, but yeah, that's kind of what we're doing to keep busy. We're trying to really keep things going as much as we can and do different things. Hopefully we're get lifted off of this this quarantine pretty soon and have a cure for the problem at hand. So, but yeah, go ahead and hit me up on that Facebook page. I'd love to hear what you guys are doing. I get you know, Facebook messages through that page from different people about what they're doing and pictures of their Jeeps. Love to see those things and even get some suggestions. So if you have suggestions for some materials you'd like to hear about, one of the listeners a couple weeks ago asked about the bumper width, and so I did a segment of the podcast on that. So if you guys want to hear about some stuff, let me know, and I'll be sure to add that. Again, Appleton, Minnesota ORV Park, I give it a thumbs up. It's a nice little drive from the cities each way, but it's worth it. Polaris Trail Command is the app I used when I was out there. You can check that out. I just randomly use it. There's probably other ones out there, but I thought I'd give that one a try. It was nice to see on the map where I was at the given time. I used my iPhone for all that. And the door hangers I've been using, Everbilt wall-mounted double arm hanger. It's from Home Depot for $7. Check it out if you need some way to hang your doors, but give it a shot. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll talk to you next week. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Zeus Off-Road in Burnsville, Minnesota, and by Motors & More Jeeps out of Brainerd, Minnesota. Go check them out.